2 Samuel chapter 3, resuming our study in verse 6. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Ishbosheth and his kingdom were getting weaker as time passed. But within that kingdom, the commander of the army was growing stronger. Abner was like a parasite. He was feeding off the thing that carried him. He's growing stronger while the organization he's a part of is falling apart. And so it says, and it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Abner was a strong man during troubled times. And troubled times are ideal times for guys like Abner to take control. And he's trying his best to do that. During troubled times, many people look for a controlling person to take control of them and the situation. The problem is, many times, out of desperation, they will latch on to an opportunist. It really doesn't have their best interest in mind. 7. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" You know, he had a point here, because sleeping with a dead king's wife was a way of saying what used to belong to the king now belongs to me. In other words, his wife belongs to me. His throne belongs to me. So Ishbosheth was angry, not because the thing was immoral, but because he felt threatened. Abner really overstepped the bounds here. But look at 8. Then Abner was very angry for the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day to the house of Saul your father, to his brethren and to his friends? And have not delivered you into the hand of David, that you should charge me today with a fault concerning this woman?" With anger, Saul is saying, "Am I a traitor?" And just notice how slick Abner is. He has just diverted attention away from the real issue here. The king asked, "Why have you made a move to take over the throne?" Abner's answer was, "I have not sold you to David. I have not sold you out." And there is a guilty conscience for you. Anyone who has to switch the subject is in trouble, and they know it. So Abner is saying, "I've held your kingdom together, and now you're coming against me." Yes, and if the king does not come against Abner, he's a fool. Lesson: just because someone has been good to you in the past doesn't mean that they have the right to be bad to you in the present. Loving God up till now doesn't give us a license to sin today. So do God to Abner and more also. "Except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him." To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. Abner is like a spoiled brat here. "You dare to say something I didn't like, king? So I'm not going to play with you anymore. I'm going to be David's friend now." 11. And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. Ishbosheth's mouth is shut. Abner was tough. Plus, he was in charge of the army. Ishbosheth had been brought up in the palace. Ishbosheth was soft. He was pathetic, a poor excuse for a man, let alone a poor excuse for a leader. 12. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, "Make your league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring about all Israel to you." Abner is an opportunist, and he wants power. He is an opportunist, and he wants to be on the side of a winner. Abner has one deeply held conviction. What is best for me is what is correct. And he will swing in any direction he needs to get what he wants. And right now, that means siding with David. 13, and he said, "Well, I will make a league with you. But one thing I require of you, that is, you shall not see my face, except you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." Michal, daughter of Saul, was David's first wife. Remember that? From 1 Samuel? Saul became angry at David and took her away and gave her to another man. David says, "Abner, before I do any negotiations with you, I want her back." There's no point in talking about getting along until the person who has sinned against you has confessed and repented of that sin. And Saul can't do it, but Abner can make it happen. 14. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife, Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." David says, "I want my wife. She's been bought and paid for." And that's true. David had to kill 100 Philistine soldiers in order to get her for his wife. David put his life on the line 100 times for that lady, and he wants her. It's the principle. And I'll tell you something, the Bible is clear. When you work for something, it should be yours. God is very, very clear on that principle. 15. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner to him, "Go return," and he returned. Kind of pathetic, isn't it? I feel sorry for the guy. The woman he loved is gone. I mean, their home has just been broken up. But their marriage was not of God, and that's why there's so much sorrow. And the guy's life is never going to be the same because he married the wrong woman. They sinned when they got married. They never asked for forgiveness. And this is what you have. Verse 15. And, excuse me, Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And verse 17, to move on. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "You sought for David in times past to be king over you." These Israeli elders were actually advisors to King Ishbosheth. Abner reminds them that for a long time they wanted David to be their king. And of course, up until this point, he never would have reminded them of that because he had been fighting to keep David off the throne. But things have changed. as far as he was concerned. 18. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. Abner sure could quote scripture. Excuse me. Of course, he only did it when it suited his purpose. Isn't that how it works with ungodly people? Satan, too. Satan knows the Holy Bible very well. So do many of his people. They use scripture like a recipe. Quote the right scripture to the right person and get them to do what you want them to do. Of course, many times it's taken out of context, and many times they have selfish motives, but they'll use it. And they don't give a lick about God. Like I said, they use scripture as a recipe to get what they want. 19. And Abner also spoke in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So after making the rounds and talking to the leaders of northern Israel, Abner returns to David and gives him some encouragement, an encouragement report. Progress report, I should say. People need progress reports, don't they? It's true. Even just a little bit of encouragement can give a person fresh hope. It doesn't take much sometimes. Just a little something. It's a little bright spot. 20. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said to David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a league with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. How sweet it is for David to at last see God's promise to him come to pass. And what an unlikely instrument, Abner. But God is using Abner to make it happen. Don't be surprised if God uses the least likely person or thing to bless you, the most unexpected. God is in control. And he is so strong that he can use the least likely things to bring a blessing our way. 22. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he sent him away, and he was gone in peace. Joab arrived just after Abner left. And that was sort of like a near miss between two 747s going 600 miles per hour. If these two rival soldiers had seen each other, there would have been bloodshed for sure. Look at 22 again. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. Joab isn't going to like the fact that David sent Abner away, and he's going to like it even less that Abner and David are now getting along. But David did the right thing by making friends with neighborly Abner. It's wrong to be cold towards someone who has changed their ways, if they have changed their ways. 23. I think we'll stop right there.